Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and let's start with the headlines you need to know. Some WNBA headlines here. The Connecticut Sun on Tuesday added all-star forward DeWan Bonner in a sign-and-trade deal with the Phoenix Mercury. Connecticut sent three first-round picks, that's number 7 and 10 in 2020 and 1 in 2021, to Phoenix for Bonner, who signed a multi-year contract. It's important to know that she signed a multi-year contract because by making it a sign-and-trade, she still can get the maximum of $215,000 under the new CBA that was ratified last month. So she's still eligible for that with the sign-and-trade. And Bonner, a 10-year veteran, played her entire WNBA career with the Mercury, three-time All-Star, three-time Sixth Woman of the Year. So Connecticut Sun make an aggressive move. Sticking in headlines you need to know, next up, Major League Baseball. Considering significant changes to the postseason, which would include increasing the number of teams from 10 to 14, and this is my favorite part of it, really, giving us a reality TV type format to determine which teams play each other. So basically, the first team in each league would have a bye, and then after that, the next team would then get to go in dodgeball style and say, I want you. I'm in for all of that. And then lastly, Toronto wraps up Russell. The Raptors kept their winning streak alive in a variety of ways over the last few weeks, but on Monday, they did it without a traditional center and with the debut of D'Angelo Russell for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Russell gets 22 points, 5 assists in 32 minutes, but as usual for him, he loses this game. Minnesota loses this game. Toronto, led by 34 points from Pascal Siakam, they win the game 137-126. That takes the Raptors' winning streak to 15 games, the second longest streak this season in the NBA. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, simulcast on ESPN News, and Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We're going to get you involved in the Straight Talk over the next couple of hours. First Take Your Take means we need your take. Here's the question today. I want you to tweet me at Jason Fitz, hashtag First Take, or call 888-SAY-ESPN. The question is, who's the most must-see player in the NBA this season? We got a lot of talk coming over the next couple of hours about who's the best, where the best lies. The question I have for you, who would you drop anything to go see? You'll spend your hard-earned money on 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. Also, you can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Now, one of those conversations that we're going to have about a player that's obviously must-see to so many people would be about LeBron James. And of course, when you're talking about LeBron James right now, you're having a question that may be based on the other team in LA about load management. ESPN basketball analyst Sean Farnham joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about how the Lakers should approach load management with LeBron.
It's February. It's right on cue. I don't want any excuses. I don't want any excuses. I don't want no, the coach told me to sit down. I sat down, lost my mojo, my flow, a little rough. No. It's LeBron James. And because it's LeBron James, 17th year in the league, age 35, three-time champion, four-time league MVP, I'm going to leave it up to you because you're renowned for being arguably the most well-conditioned, arguably in the history of the sport. The manner in which you take care of your body, the money that you spend in taking care of yourself, making sure you're in prime peak condition to be all you can be. okay, even though you ain't in the Army. The bottom line
is exactly what was going on in my mind.
The bottom line is this. I don't want any excuses. This is the one guy that literally you can sit up there and his willingness or ability to usurp the coach or the organization is completely understandable because they don't know him better than he knows himself. I will say this to you, though, Max, and this much you'll like. See, when we talk about LeBron and we talking about what's coming up and how you got to go up against Kawhi and all of this other stuff, I see what you're doing against Sacramento. I see what you're doing against Phoenix. I see what you're doing against these other teams. Yes, you might sit up there and look at Kawhi and it's a load management thing or what have you. But at some point in time, it's going to come down to you. You're going to be that guy. And this is not Golden State. Because, see, this is the thing about Golden State that everybody missed about LeBron. When you were going up against Golden State, you weren't defending Steph Curry. I mean, that was your nemesis. But you weren't really guarding him. He wasn't really trying to guard you. Oh, Kawhi looking for you.
Yeah.
You! I mean, this is not Kawhi Leonard. I'm telling you what I heard, and I'm telling you what I know. This is not some guy that's just going on the court. It doesn't matter to me. We win. When he steps on the court against LeBron.
Don't buy that nice guy routine with Kawhi.
Against LeBron, LeBron is going to see him. And at some point in time, you're going to have to answer the call. What you going to do? And that's what this comes down to.
So,
to your point of what it's going to come down to, what you want versus what you need. My parents used to tell me that all the time. It's what you want, but it's what you need. And what LeBron James needs to do is sit down. Okay? Because he's played more minutes than anybody in NBA history outside of Karl Malone and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, including the postseason. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of tread that has been worn off those tires. Now, he has been sensational so far this season.
Unbelievable.
All right? You want to talk about load management? Load management's been going on in the NBA for a long time. You know what load management used to be? When you played the Suns, you didn't play all game long. You played minimal minutes, and then you sat down and chilled the rest of the game.
Correct.
If that's what you want to do with LeBron, that's fine. Why do players not do that anymore? Oh, because it affects their averages and could affect some other things that come along with their contracts and things like that. So now we have the modern-day load management. So if you want to sit him down and still play him and have him come out every single night, you can do that. Just start tapering down his minutes because your point is 100% correct. Regular season wins at home court versus winning the title. You want a parade in June? You need to have a healthy LeBron James.
Clear. I disagree with both of y'all. Both of y'all give a damn. I mean, listen, let me be very, very clear. LeBron, we cannot sit up here and look at a particular player, particularly one who takes care of himself as well as LeBron James has throughout his career, and ignore what his perspective is about
what
he's
saying. Hold on. I got
to
say this to you.
And have the summer off.
I got to say this
summer
to you.
Summer off? Wait, yeah. The whole summer.
There was a guy. We have a cautionary tale. He was among the greatest players who ever lived. Ooh. He did play for the Lakers.
Ooh,
Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, when they had Dwight Howard and Steve Nash with Pau Gasol, D'Antoni's system, they weren't buying and it wasn't working. I remember when this happened. I know all about it from various sources. Staged a mutiny and said, no, this is the way we're playing now, D'Antoni. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to get
absolutely
it.
Right.
Okay. Now, Kobe started playing himself over 40 minutes a game.
45, yeah.
For like a 2-week stretch. And I'm on the radio every day going, Sean, you may remember, going, we're risking a catastrophic injury here, folks.
Yes.
He can't do this.
I was saying the same
thing. And sure enough, his Achilles goes. LeBron has more minutes than Kobe even logged at that point.
His body, his stature is different, though.
And but you want to tempt fate?
No, I don't. I'm on your side on this. But his body and stature is different than Kobe's was. And the way he invests in himself, I mean, it is well documented to your point. I think, again,
and he's not playing 45 minutes
load,
again.
Load management.
Plus a summer off.
Right. Load management for me with LeBron James isn't, okay, let's shut you down and not even have you go out on the court. You can keep your mojo 20 minutes and then sit down.
But I'm not averse to that. I'm talking about, when I say load management, I'm talking about the modern day load management.
Right.
I'm not talking about what you're talking about. That's number one. Number two, and more importantly, let's understand something here. When we're talking about LeBron James, he is averaging 34 minutes a game, which is a career low. We've got to take that into consideration as well. The physical freak of nature that he is, we've got to take that into consideration. And then, you know what, guys? Max, I'm going to say it. This could be it. remember when the Clippers were going against the Golden State Warriors before the Golden State Warriors won their title, and they blew the game, the series against Houston when they had 19-point lead, was getting ready to close them out in Game 6. Houston with James Harden on the bench came back, won that game, then went back and won Game 7. Golden State won that next series, and that was
the Clippers' window.
Because remember, at the time, everyone was talking about the Clippers and how much they hated the Warriors and what have you, and we were all looking forward to that epic Western Conference Finals series. If the Clippers had interrupted Golden State, who knows what would have happened? I'm saying when you look at the Clippers now, if LeBron and the Lakers don't get them this year, you may never get them in the LeBron era. This is it.
Well, I don't know.
This is it.
Let me tell you why I disagree with that.
You believe next year the Lakers will be better.
I think next year the chance is that, because when you put a team with AD and LeBron together, mm-hmm. you have to give up so many resources.
Right.
It usually takes an extra year for you to find the right kind of parts, draft picks, whatever it is.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you who the most must-see player in the NBA is this year. Who will you drop anything to see? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Adam in Seattle, we've heard some of First Take. What's your take? Who's the most must-see player in the NBA this season?
Hey, personally for me right now, it's Damian Lillard. I mean, you look at his track record this year, over his last 12 games, he's averaging 40 a game. I mean, this guy doesn't miss games at all, and they might not be in the playoff race right now, but once they get Nurkic and Collins back in line, once they get healthy, they should be at least a sixth seed in the West. So I think if you look over the NBA, the most overlooked player in the league is Damian Lillard, and I think he's the most watched player in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I also think they're the most overlooked team because of the injuries. And you're right. If they can get healthy for the playoffs, it makes it a lot more exciting. Getting a bunch of tweets, it looks like the D-Monette says Ja Morant. I'm surprised we're not getting more Ja. I mean, Ja is absolutely sensational so far this year. And Travis says, it is and always has been LeBron. I despise the farewell tour fans who finally pay their respects to a legend. Pay them now. Enjoy what you're witnessing. The greatest still has it. You're right. TV ratings will tell you everybody wants to see LeBron, but there are a lot of other players in the NBA that are part of this. We're getting a ton of tweets. We'll read some more of them. Plus, we'll take more of your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who will you spend your hard-earned money to go see? Don't forget, by the way, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Now, obviously, one of the other big stars that's must-see at this point this year is Kawhi. We all knew that, but Kawhi's already on a minutes restriction. You know, and we're starting to look now at Kawhi in the West, and we're looking over in the East, and what do we see over there? The Raptors have won 15 straight. Now, I feel like I'm already, you know, the guy running up and down the halls throwing the confetti for the Bucks every night, but that doesn't take anything away from what Siakam, the Raptors, and Nick Nurse particularly have been able to accomplish with 15 straight wins. So the question is, would Kawhi, as great as he is, would Kawhi have had a better shot at another title by staying with the Raptors? Sean Farnham again joined ESPN's Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman as they debated what would have been the best path for the Claw.
And I'm still going to go with Kawhi with the Clippers having a better shot of getting to the NBA Finals. I think one of the things you got to look at when you look at the Eastern Conference is this. First of all, Milwaukee may have learned the error of their ways despite the fact that Toronto has won 15 straight. Who are they still looking up to? It's Milwaukee. That's number one. There's something to be said for learning from the mistakes that you made last year and being prepared for it. I'm not going to sleep on Miami because they've got marksmen on their squad. They've got perimeter game, and they don't necessarily fall victim to what Milwaukee would do. Why did Milwaukee lose to Toronto last year? All of a sudden, you transition after game two. You put Kawhi on the Greek Freak. He picks the Greek Freak up at half court. Takes away him coming downhill and coming at you like a locomotive. All of a sudden, you turn this 6'11 dude into somewhat of a playmaker. That ain't necessarily his game. You compromise him that way. You can't do that to Miami. Not with the shooters that they have. It's a different style. Then we go to the Western Conference and we look at Kawhi with Paul George, as you said yesterday, joining a 48-win team. And so I've got Paul George. I've got Kawhi. I've still got Beverly. I just picked up Morris. I've got Harold. I've got Lou Williams. So I look at it from that perspective, and here's the thing. You just gave Boston credit. You just gave I just gave Miami credit. You bring up Milwaukee. When we look at the Clippers, do we not think of one team and one team only standing in their way potentially? That's the Los Angeles Lakers. Even though we respect Denver and we respect Utah, we're not really anticipating or expecting that they'll be able to get over the hump against a multi-talented, exceptionally well-coached franchise like the Los Angeles Clippers. It's about LeBron and AD and the superstar tandem that the other team in L.A., the team in L.A., the purple and gold, have at their disposal as the one thing standing in the way of Kawhi Leonard. But when you look at the Eastern Conference, there are a plethora of things. And the last point is, remember this, when you consider what's transpiring with Toronto, one of the reasons they are so effective right now, and they have been effective this year, is because they perform by committee. Even though Pascal Siakam is your leading scorer, you defer to an abundance of people, the Van Vliet's, the Lowry's of the world, and others, because the man is no longer there. There is no, and if Kawhi was there right now, even though we have no doubt he'll be ready for the postseason, during the regular season with load management and all of that other stuff, because he played 60 games last year, missed 22, you could not see, in all likelihood, the fluidity in the Toronto Raptors that you're seeing now.
And one way to really see that, too, is the number of double-digit missed games by all of the contributors on that team. I mean, Van Vliet has been out. Siakam has been out. Gasol has been out. So, I mean, it's definitely
there's always
point.
Trade-offs.
Sean, look, what do you think?
And I would say this. First of all, the 15-game win streak is against one of the worst schedules we've ever seen in NBA history. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that, I'm not trying to belittle winning 15 games. I understand how hard that is to accomplish at any professional level in any sport. I don't care if it's baseball, NBA, it doesn't matter. But I would also say this. Some of the emergence of Pascal and what we've seen in his growth and development, he's put in a ton of work in the offseason. He's worked with Rico Hines out in L.A., running the men's gym out in UCLA, improved his game tremendously. Is the fact that he is now trying to emerge to become that man. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to become that guy. You talked about the bench, and it's well documented how strong that bench was. Well, the strongest bench in the NBA right now is the Clippers. They lead the NBA in scoring. They lead the NBA in rebounds. They lead the NBA in minutes played. And oh, by the way, Kawhi Leonard is still taking his load management time and getting ready, and he's got a running cohort now in Paul George that can take some of that offensive pressure off of him come the postseason. I think his chances of winning the NBA championship.
You can't make that argument for the Clippers, because last year, you just said it, Kawhi missed 22 games for the Raptors, who won the championship. And everyone's right, of course, if KD wasn't hurt, of course the Warriors would have won the championship. But that goes for any team. There's no team that was going to stand up to that super team Warriors team. That's for sure.
But
the Raptors won the championship with Kawhi missing 22 games, speaking to their depth, won the championship, and the Warriors don't exist anymore, basically. So there's no team like that standing in their way.
Right, so this team that he has with the Clippers, with their depth on their bench and their production on their bench,
right, they're going to win the championship.
They're going to win the championship.
I started out by saying, whatever team Kawhi went to, since he is the best player in the NBA, which no one but me wants to acknowledge, is going to win the title, because with the chips on the line, he suns everybody. He will do it again this year. Of course, you have to be on an excellent team. The bottom line is, in the West, you have teams on the bottom, like bringing up through, like Dallas, who's live. It's not like that in the East. Utah, Denver, the Rockets have a puncher's chance. The Lakers, like everywhere you look in the West, you're kind of swimming with sharks. In the East, the top has gotten better. But once you start getting down to like the Nets without KD and Kyrie, come on. It's a thinner division.
Let's stay at the top, guys. Conference. Is it tougher for the Clippers to get through the Lakers, or is it tougher for the Raptors to get through the Bucks?
This year's Raptors?
This year, this season.
With Kawhi, you mean?
No.
Or without Kawhi?
No, it's tougher for the Raptors to get through the Bucks.
That's
without
right.
question.
Without question.
Right, yes. But if the Raptors had Kawhi, they'd do the Bucks in the playoffs. They don't, so they will lose. If they had Kawhi, they will, just like they did them last year. Because what Stephen A. said was right. And by the way, to give you credit, you said this going into the playoffs about the Freak when I had him number one. If you turn him into a player who has to go find his own shot, He looks like, is he kind of a wing? No, he plays big. Mm-hmm. And without a counterpart who you can rely on in the backcourt, which they still don't have, by the way. Bledsoe didn't always play big when they needed him most.
Which is why I believe you can't ignore Miami.
Miami, because they have Jimmy Butler.
Playing big, it works for the Raptors.
It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Look, it's rare where I feel like they're both right and wrong in the conversations they're having. While I understand the argument of where the Raptors would be, you know, part of this is because we saw Kawhi and what he did last year to Giannis. I'll continue to say that we can't live with Giannis in a bubble and presume that Giannis hasn't gotten any better, that the Bucks wouldn't be better. But we can presume that whatever team Kawhi was going to be on is going to be the championship favorite. If the question is, where's the path easier? I think the path is easier in the East, and the path is easier in the East because everybody in the East outside of the top two or three teams is very beatable on a team that Kawhi would be on. The path is tougher in the West, but let's not sit here and suddenly make the West sound like it's the wild, wild West and there's a shot for everybody. While there are teams at the bottom of the West that are better than we expected, and the middle of the West looks pretty packed, if you had to bet an uncomfortable amount of money, if you had to go out and put your house on it, are you really willing to take a team in the West that's not in LA to go to the championship? Are you? I don't think you are. I think most of us can look at it and say, hey, there's better balance in the West. Sure, it's a great conversation. There is better balance in the West. But through it all, we still know the West is going to be won by a team in LA, no matter how good everybody else is. So the question becomes, what happens in the East? And I know Stephen A. is a believer in Miami. I know a lot of people are. But the East, to me, belongs to Miami. Would that be different with Kawhi? Yeah, Kawhi would have a clearer path to the championship if he's in the East, because by himself, he would change the balance of power in the entire conference, just like LeBron did for all of his heyday years. First Take, your take. I want to remind you, though, Gola Gwinga, which I've been on all week. If you've been hanging out, you've been sleeping in. Check it out in the morning, 6 to 10 a.m. We're going to be live on Friday from Chicago for the NBA All-Star Game, brought to you by Marathon. No matter where your travels take you, Marathon can improve your engine performance with quality, top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. And yes, that means I'll still be right here hanging out with you on Friday from Chicago. I'm going to be doing all sorts of world travel. In the meantime, it's First Take, your take, because I want your take. And all this conversation about LeBron, Kawhi, the question's the same. We want to know who's the most must-see player in the NBA. Who are you dropping everything to go see anytime you can? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, we'll get some of your tweets on it at Jason Fitz. That's where you can give us your thoughts. In the meantime, there was big NFL news, and the panel finally had the opportunity to react to it. Phillip Rivers is no longer with the Chargers, but will he start somewhere? You'll hear the panel's thoughts on it. But first, when it comes to your bathroom, right now the shortest distance between outdated and updated is a trip to the Home Depot's Days of Doing Bath event with in-store vanities from only $139. Woo! Faucets from only $49 plus a wide selection of online bath products at new, lower prices. And if you can't make the trip, you do not have to worry about it. Home Depot can deliver. It's a good time to be a doer and a great time to save at the Days of Doing Bath event now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit homedepot.com/bath. For more details, if Phillip Rivers is still a doer, where is he going to get it done next year? We'll see what the panel thought. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hop in. Who's the most must-see player in the NBA this season? A lot of NBA talk in today's episode of First Take. We'll get you some of that reaction. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's the most must-see player in the NBA this season? You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Don't forget to say hello to your new favorite breakfast, buttery crispy McChicken biscuits and savory sweet chicken McGriddles, now available nationwide. My God, that sounds good, at participating McDonald's for a limited time. All right, so we'll get back to the NBA conversation in just a minute. But the breaking news yesterday while we were on air is that Phillip Rivers and the LA Chargers mutually decided to part ways. So it raises the logical question of what's next, not just for the Chargers, but what's next for Phillip Rivers? Is he still a starter in the NFL? So ESPN NFL analyst Keyshawn Johnson joined Max and Stephen A. to debate the future of Phillip.
I really wish y'all had warned me that Keyshawn Johnson was going to be on this segment, because I really don't want to say this in front of him because he'll bite my head off. But I'm going to say what I feel. I think Phillip Rivers should retire. I think it's time. I appreciate the career that he's had. The man has thrown for 59,000 yards. He's got 397 touchdowns. He's completed more than 64% of his passes in his career. He is no scrub by any stretch of the imagination. And obviously he warrants consideration for the Hall of Fame. Mad respect for him. But I think that what I've seen over the last 2 years from him, it's not so much the 20 interceptions that he just threw. I'm looking at immobility. in a world where the athletes on the defensive side of the ball are so elite in this day and age that if you are a stationary target, I just don't have much faith in you. Now, Mike Williams can ball. I mean, you know, Keenan Allen and these boys, they can get it done. Hunter Henry's going to be back. He's some expectations. Ingram can run out of the backfield. We get all of that. And still, you just saw too many afternoons where Phillip Rivers couldn't get it done. I'm not saying it's all his fault. We get it. But when we sit up here, we talk about Brady and the expectations that he could potentially end up a Charger even at the age of 42. What you are saying in essence is that everywhere else we have the requisite weapons to compete. That flagrantly at the quarterback position, there is something sorely lacking. And I think in the case of Phillip Rivers, that sidearm that he throws with, even though he's tall and he can get away with it because he's tall and he can see over opposing defensive linemen, I just think about his throwing motion, his immobility, combined with the elite athletes on the defensive side of the ball and the way the game is evolving before our very eyes. And I just think that we've seen the best of Phillip Rivers. I'm not saying he can't play anymore, but I think we've seen the best of him, and whatever we've seen already, we're not going to see any better than what we've already
Normally,
seen.
Normally, I would say, you know, retire at a certain point. In Phillip Rivers' case, I don't think he's a starter anymore. Unless maybe the Bucks, maybe there are a few fits here and there where he could. I see him as a backup. But I would not suggest he retire. And I know what that sounds like. Oh, it's disrespectful. No, you could still win a, you know, mess around. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl backing up Carson Wentz. And this is the reason I feel this way. I've always been a Phillip Rivers fan. There's so much to like there. The Iron Man, right? He's always there. He's played on a lot of excellent teams. It's not like he hasn't had chances. But, you know, many times I've brought up in production meetings, like, whatever, Phillip Rivers is a topic. But we all agree that's not going to lead the show. People don't care enough about it. Ben Roethlisberger might. Eli Manning might. And they were drafted in the same draft class as Phillip Rivers. And he's just as good as those guys, right? It seems like he's just as good as those guys, but he never won the Super Bowl. And he had plenty of chances on really good teams, and he never came through. And in fact, it pains me to say, he came up small a lot of the time when they needed him most, even though he's a super tough guy and a leader. And I love the fact that he talks trash and he's put up big numbers and all that stuff. He hasn't won the Super Bowl. And it's for a franchise that people don't care about. I mean, the Chargers are not, like, they just don't have the same kind of fan base as, like, even in L.A. and Key, you know this. If you were to list how people care about different franchises, you get to a whole bunch of franchises and a whole bunch of sports before you get to the Chargers, including the Rams, including the Raiders are still more loved in L.A. than the Chargers. So all that conspired against Phillip Rivers. And the way I think about it, he's still good, veteran leadership, the whole thing, good enough to back someone up, good enough to help them in their development, and good enough where if anything happens and he's on a good team, I only think he should go to a good team. He's on a good team and anything happens to the starter, I would hate to see him end his career without a Super Bowl. I want to see him on a Super Bowl team. So in this rare case, I would say, I don't think he's a starter anymore for the most part. I don't want to see him retire without a Super Bowl ring.
Well, he's certainly a starter in the National Football League. And when you look at where these quarterbacks are headed, I know we're looking at Lamar Jackson and we're looking at Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. But, you know, there are still a few statues that are in this league still playing. He's not a guy who can run around. There's no question about it. But when you look at teams like the Indianapolis Colts, Jacoby Brissett, you're looking at that division where Tennessee, Houston, Jacksonville, Indy was in the mix. The quarterback fell apart. The receivers, the offensive line is there to protect. When you talk about things that happen in San Diego or L.A. Chargers, better yet, I keep calling them San Diego still. the offensive line, the tackles, the left and the right, terrible. Not good at all. The running game by committee was okay. The receivers dropped some balls at times. Phillip Rivers threw a lot of interceptions. There's no question about it. But when you talk about a team like the Indianapolis Colts, and you look at what they are capable of doing with Frank Wright, his former quarterback coach, co-offensive coordinator who helped game plan when he was with the Chargers, has a great relationship with Phillip Rivers. And you know, Max and Steven, these coaches around the league, they always like veteran players. I remember in 1998, we had a guy named Vinny Testaverde. Vinny Testaverde lit it up. He was that one year. best quarterback in the league.
And he was a statue.
And he was a statue, and everybody kept saying it was time for him to retire. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What they do in Indianapolis is they retool the receiver position. You got T.Y. Hilton. You go out there, and one of my favorite receivers in this draft is a kid from Clemson, a kid from Clemson named T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. Remember that name. He's a lot like Keenan Allen, Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams from Clemson, guys that he has played with before. You give him that big target to go along at the 15th spot
right.
with T.Y. Hilton, you're talking about something.
Let me ask you this, Keyshawn. And by the way, I didn't mean Ingram. I meant Melvin Gordon. Obviously, he missed a few games, but I'm saying, they had him last year. But what I'm saying is I didn't mean Ingram. But here's the deal. You look at Keenan Allen, he can ball. Mike Williams only had 49 receptions, but still over 1,000 yards. He could ball. Hunter Henry did some things for them as well. Right now, when we look at the Chargers, we're not questioning their weapons. There's a reason the Chargers elected, in other words, and by the way, props to them for the video on Twitter that they put out paying tribute to Phillip Rivers because he deserves it with what he did for them. All
Chargers
I'm saying is when we look at their organization, when we look at their squad, they got some ball players.
No question.
So why would you want to let Phillip Rivers go? Because they know
that for the most part
he might be done.
But sometimes, Stephen A., when you're in a system and you're in a situation, you don't get the best out of that person, okay? Coach Lynn in this system,
remember, they
fired Ken Whisenhunt. And then he went with a young offensive coordinator that's never called plays in the NFL. In fact, never called plays anywhere. Mm-hmm. And he got promoted to the offensive coordinator. So when you look at that, you got to take a step back and say, okay, although Phillip Rivers did some things that make you frown, he also did some things that you go, you know what? If we can surround him with enough weapons, he might be able to take us where we want to go.
I'm going to close it by saying this. I'm not trying to say that he couldn't be a starter in this league. What I'm saying is what we've seen from Phillip Rivers, I think the best days
he's a low-end starter.
That's what I'm saying.
Best. And I
but you can, but you can win with low-end starters.
Okay, that's fine.
Maybe. Don't shut me off. Talking about that's fine. Don't do
I'm
me
saying
like that.
I got you. All right.
Don't do me like that because I'll be up there tomorrow.
You ain't scared of you. I'll be in Indian to Chicago. You know where to find me, Keyshawn. Don't talk to your boy like that.
Oh, you leaving tomorrow. That's why you toughen. Got it.
I said I'll be in Indian Chicago.
Key stayed listening.
Keyshawn, thank you for joining us. We appreciate
He always getting on me. He can't help himself.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I wouldn't take on Keyshawn. I'm just saying. I want your thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's the most must-see player in the NBA this season? We've had a ton of your calls. We'll get a ton of your take coming in. You guys can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll get your thoughts on it coming up next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and, of course, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed any of the first hour, it was stacked. Check out the First Take podcast brought to you by Capital One Venture Card, where you can earn When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? All right, so we're asking you guys to chime in the most must-see player in the NBA this season. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can also call in 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That comes because a lot of individual players were focused on today during First Take. Stephen A. and Max, in fact, had a debate about the finals and who has a better shot, Kemba or Harden.
I think it's James Harden.
Okay.
The miniature Kemba Walker, who's sensational, got a lot of love for him. I think Boston showed us what they're capable of when they're going up against those trees in Milwaukee. I just think it's a little bit too much for them to overcome. And even though Max has made a religious argument about how James Harden needs to do better in the postseason, I think we all know if James Harden were to make shots in the postseason the way he does in the regular season, what the hell are you going to do about that? This dude, he's averaging 35 this year. He's one of the prolific scorers this game has ever seen. If the shot falls like that in the postseason, they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
We all know that.
I agree with that. I think that Harden has a championship in there somewhere. If he can do that, he hasn't shown that he can yet. Meantime, he's in a conference where Los Angeles is fielding two teams that are like, you know, the Lakers are doing it in the regular season.
Yes.
The Clippers, we all know, they're not even too worried about the regular season. You see what's there. It's just a tougher conference. The Celtics, meantime, Stephen A., when they've been healthy, they basically don't lose. They win almost all the time when they're healthy. And without Kyrie in the locker room, when you add Kemba, and we see the issues in Brooklyn now, Kemba's uplifting the locker room. Hayward's back from injury and now a year removed from a catastrophic injury. Tatum and Brown have now blossomed. This is a really, really good team. Celtics are really, really good. I think Kemba has a better shot.
I think they're a great, great regular season team. I think in the postseason when you run into those trees, it's a problem for them. I know they are a perimeter team anyway, but when you're forced to do that come postseason time, I think it's significantly more difficult.
They're both underdogs. I mean,
Are we jaded when it comes to James Harden's scoring ability? Are we talking enough about the fact he's averaging like 36 points per
game? We're not talking enough about it because James Harden's exceptional play, it's gotten to a point where it's working against him. Because now it's become ordinary to us. We see it. We expect it. We know how phenomenal he is. Okay, you need to do that in the postseason. That's what it's come down to.
I'm not sure about this, but it's a theory I have, a hypothesis I have. It could be proven wrong. I don't know. But like Peyton Manning, Greg Maddux, a pitcher in baseball, they never did as well under pressure in the playoffs as they did in the regular season. I think Harden's like that. When you have a cerebral player who's getting by on some junk, on some misdirection, in the regular season when there's not enough time to prepare, they can pick you apart. But in the playoffs, when they have time to prepare and you're facing other elite athletes, they're cerebral too and they got the hard heat. I don't think Harden is the athlete that Kawhi is, that LeBron is, and they're just as smart as him, so I think he's at a disadvantage in the playoffs.
Max, is Harden's best chance at an NBA championship behind him?
No, you can't say that because if they keep Daryl Morey, he's capable of working magic.
Here's my problem, and I'm a fan of Daryl Morey, and I think he's done a good job, and I hope that he stays in Houston for years to come. But let's be very, very clear. You don't get to hold just the players accountable sometimes. At some point in time, as an executive, you're knocking on the door, you're knocking on the door, you're knocking on the door. Is what you're doing working? Is D'Antoni the right man for the job? I think Mike D'Antoni is an exceptional coach. My problem is, will his style of coaching deliver you a championship? It'll deliver to you 50-plus wins a season. It'll get you a couple of rounds in the playoffs. But can it deliver the chip?
Who's the most must-see player in the NBA this year? Donovan in Virginia. Thanks for calling. We got First Take. I want your take. Who is it?
I got Giannis. He's basically a walking triple-double, man. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Oh, I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, you are talking about energy. You are talking about explosiveness. You are talking about human highlights everywhere you possibly look. Always a highlight coming there. Keep calling us, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. Getting a lot of votes at this point for Giannis. But also, right now, overwhelmingly on Twitter, it really looks like the leader in the clubhouse, surprisingly, Luka Doncic. I'm a little surprised to see the amount of Luka love that I'm getting here. I'm not surprised because he's so good. I'm just surprised because we don't talk about him as much every single day. Kaz says Luka or Damian Lillard for me. I don't disagree with that. Rich, Luka getting a lot of love. Shelby Hendricks says Kevin Love is my personal must-see player. That one's a little bit off the beaten path. Sean agrees with the Luka Doncic. So we continue to look around left and right, and another vote for Giannis or Lillard. You don't get to pick two. You got to pick one. Tell me, at Jason Fitz, hashtag First Take. That's how you get in on the conversation. I'm also, I want a little bit more love for Ja Morant. Like, Ja Morant is as single-handedly making the Grizzlies relevant. He's only got one vote. I am going to die on that hill also. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in and tell us who's the most must-see player, who's the guy you will drop cash on no matter what to go see this season. In the meantime, one of those guys, Giannis Antetokounmpo, might be the clear-cut MVP so far this season, but not everybody on the panel thinks so. You'll hear why next.